Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the broadcast today, a conversation with James Smack, is a libertarian and a former Nevada Republican National Committeeman. For the whole show on all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you in part by the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, Pro Group Management, and the Retail Association of Nevada.
Your business workers' comp company should be your partner. The Pro Group Customer Care Team brings you effective risk management, training, support, and web tools at no extra cost to you. We maximize the safety of your employees and business every day. Pro Group is with you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, with information and resources at your fingertips. We ensure your employees' safety and that your premium's in line. When you're a Pro Group member, you have the team that's looking out for you. Pro Group Management, workers' comp that works for you. Call for a no-obligation quote today.
Safety is the number one priority for the trucking industry. Over $7 billion a year is spent on technology like this electronic eye that will apply the brakes automatically. But the most important factor for safety is the truck driver. These hardworking men and women who safely move over 70% of our nation's freight and 94% of Nevada's. We thank you because trucks move America forward.
Nearly 200,000 Nevadans work in retail businesses, supporting families and the community. Nevada's retail businesses generated over $2 billion in sales tax revenue in 1 year, including nearly $700 million to help our schools. Shop around and see all that Nevada's retailers offer our state.
We're the Retail Association of Nevada, representing thousands of Nevada businesses.
Businesses that work for Nevada.
Chronic diseases like diabetes,
asthma, and heart disease
are the number one
cause of death,
disability,
and rising healthcare costs
in the United States.
Today,
more than 86%
of our healthcare spending
goes to treating people with chronic diseases.
I'm Ken Thorpe, chairman of the Partnership to Fight Chronic Disease. As the presidential candidates discuss their plans to address rising healthcare costs,
ask them how they plan to address the chronic disease problem.
Paid for by the Partnership to Fight Chronic Disease.
Closed captioning of Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you by the Nevada Trucking Association. Trucking moves America forward. This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shad, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we're taping this program as we're banking shows because we're changing studios, and we're taping it on February the 16th, and I'm here with James Smack, the former Nevada Republican National Committeeman. Pleasure to have you back on the program, sir.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm very good. Let's talk about this election cycle, because it seems so crazy that the candidates who are the most outspoken on the Republican side are not libertarian. Do you feel that they are in any way libertarian?
I think that there's libertarian tendencies in some of them. I think that Ted Cruz definitely has a libertarian streak in him to an extent. I think even Donald Trump for a little bit, but then I hear something else entirely different come out of his mouth, or look into what things that he's done in the past that I don't see libertarianism at all. So I think he's come to it a little bit later in life, maybe. But I don't see that the Rand Paul's already withdrawn from the race, so I don't see the true heir to the Ron Paul throne certainly in the race at this point in time. But still, there are good conservative candidates in the race. I think Ted Cruz would certainly fit that bill pretty well. Marco Rubio to an extent, with the notable exception of his Gang of Eight participation. And even Jeb Bush. I lived in Florida for 5 of the 8 years of the Bush administration, and Jeb Bush governed as an extraordinary conservative when he was governor of Florida. So I think that conservatives have plenty of people still to choose from as far as that goes in this race, but those that are strict libertarians are going to have a hard choice.
Why do you think that Rand Paul didn't gain traction? Because he's very eloquent.
I know from my perspective, and the perspective of a number of folks that supported his father, endorsing Mitch McConnell didn't sit well with me. I think that you're going out and you're endorsing basically the biggest obstruction to conservatism within the Republican Party, and then you're going out and trying to tell us that you're a libertarian conservative, and it just didn't quite wash.
And that was more the election cycle where he was claiming that.
Yeah, yeah, because he did that. He did that 2 years ago. So that was pretty fresh on people's minds. If that happened 10 years ago, I think he could have explained that away. And the thing is, he had opportunities to address that very subject, and even say things like what Mike Huckabee said, that he went to talk to Matt Bevin when he was running for governor in Kentucky and said, listen, I made the wrong choice. I should have chosen you because you were the true conservative in the race instead of endorsing Mitch McConnell, who had been a longtime friend. And if Rand Paul would have come out and done something like that, I think it would have helped his campaign. I think it would have helped. I think that he was just seen as trying to get in bed a little bit too much with the establishment in order to further his own political career.
When you look at the recent passing of Justice Scalia and the immediate action of the Republicans to say that they didn't want to have the president nominate somebody for the Supreme Court, do you think that that's a mistake for the Republican Party to go that way?
I think
And by the way, as we said, we're taping this on February 16th. The president may well have nominated somebody for the Supreme Court.
There may well be a nominee by the time that this is being aired. But I think the president has every right to name an appointment. He is still president of the United States for the next 10 months or so. I'm going to harken back a little bit, though, to what kind of nominee I think can get actually approved in this day and age and in this environment. If we go back to 1987, Ronald Reagan was coming to the conclusion of his second term, had an opportunity to appoint a Supreme Court justice, and he nominated Robert Bork. Robert Bork was a strict constitutionalist and had some very conservative tendencies and did not get confirmed by a Democrat-controlled Senate. He had to pivot to a more moderate candidate, and he picked Anthony Kennedy. And I think we can all agree from a historical perspective, Anthony Kennedy has been the most moderate voice on the Supreme Court and still is to date. If Barack Obama can find his Anthony Kennedy to appoint somebody that can get the consensus of 80 or 90 different senators, then I think an appointment can go through, but he's not going to be able to appoint a radical.
And it's going to be interesting, too, to see what happens, because if it were to go to the next president, there's no guarantee that the Democrats wouldn't filibuster whoever the next president, if they were Republican, were to nominate.
That's true. And the thing I've been hearing is they're waiting for the election. The interesting thing that I hear in that is they're not waiting until the inauguration of the new president. If the election comes down and Hillary Clinton wins the election in November and she says, I support this nominee that the Senate's been holding up, the Senate's really not going to have much choice than to confirm that person at that point in time, because that's just going to be the same nominee Hillary Clinton puts up when she gets into office. So I think it's the waiting for the election parts more so than waiting for a new president.
But do you think that it could be rushed through that quickly before Inauguration Day?
I think it could, because I think what's going to happen is that the hearings are going to take place, and I think that the Republicans will just use a stall tactic, and they're just going to run the hearings out as long as they possibly can and not call the confirmation of the jurist to the floor of the Senate for as long as they possibly can. I think it'll just be an operation of delay.
And how will that reflect on the Republican Party, or at least on the Senate, if they do something like that? I mean, won't that be just a campaign, slogan for 2 years down the road?
It could be a dice roll for the Senate control for this time. If the American people recognize that the Senate is obstructing what is generally conceived as a good, moderate, middle-of-the-road candidate, I think that could be harmful to the Republicans, and it could cost them control of the Senate even in 2016.
Really? Okay, let's take a break more with James Smack when we come back.
To contact Nevada Newsmakers, call 775-857-2244 or go to NevadaNewsmakers.com.
The Tamarack Junction is South Reno's hotspot for food, fun, and friends. Play the hottest slots and video games. Join the Conductors Club and earn comps and free play. Meet your friends at Sully Sports Bar and feast on juicy burgers, wings, big beers, and all your favorite cocktails. Download the Tamarack Junction mobile app for exclusive food and gaming offers right from your phone. The Tamarack Junction, where friends meet in South Reno, just north of the Summit Mall in South Virginia.
How do you shed some light on a better economy? Start with growth inspired by Valley Electric Association. We're a member-owned power company that puts Nevada first, and we're doing big things, like providing prosperity by securing renewable energy projects. For Nevada, that means more jobs and more opportunities, all for a strong statewide economy. In other words, together, we're doing powerful things. Visit us at vea.coop to learn more.
Welcome to the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center. You ask, are we busy? Here's United Construction, 700,000 square feet of distribution. This is SJS Development. They're grading for their new facility. This is eBay's new data center under construction. TRI offers 30,000 acres of industrial property. It's ready to build, and there's room for you. Welcome to the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center. We're building economic prosperity for Nevadans.
St. Ives Florist, for every holiday and every special occasion, for romance. Custom home design. We have the largest selection of fresh flowers in Northern Nevada. And we also offer a large selection of unique gift items. Come see me, Lori Ann, at St. Ives Florist, 700 South Wells Avenue, or call me at 333-9190.
Closed captioning of Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you by the Nevada Trucking Association. Trucking moves America forward. And now, back to Nevada Newsmakers with Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with James Smack. He's the former Nevada Republican National Committeeman. Another thing to look at here is one of the things that really is concerning people is the thought of that we may be heading into a recession. And you and I have talked about this a little bit off the air, but a recession is a fiscal number, but really what it would affect the most is confidence. Do you think that a recession at this point in time, even though it's due, would really negatively affect the country to a point where we'd see what happened in 2008 happen again?
Long term, would we see what happened in 2008, 2009? No. Are we due for a recession? Absolutely. And I would not be surprised to see a defined recession in 2016, which would be two quarters of declining growth. And part of that could be driven by the lower gas prices. Part of that can be driven by people just wanting to keep more money in their pockets right now. There has been a little bit of an adversity to spend out on the street right now, and I think that could very well drive a recession. I mean, the 2008, 2009 may seem like it's a long time ago to some people, but in the minds of those that lost a lot of money in 2008, 2009, guess what? It's pretty fresh on their minds, and I think that if it does happen, and I'm not saying that it will for sure, but I think it probably will this year. The two things that may have some effect on, it may have some effect on the presidential race and presidential politics, depending on how that comes down, whether it comes down in July or whether it comes down in October. It might be a little bit of a difference there. And the other thing, it will probably take a little bit more steam out of the market than it's already been taken out. Might see Dow 13,000, Dow 12,000 even, NASDAQ down around 3,000 again. But I think it will recover faster. I think that...
Well, you don't have a housing crisis.
You don't have that.
Because the banking industry has, reformed itself at least to that extent that we don't have a huge subprime mortgage situation.
Yeah, but you're starting to see it creep back in again.
Yes,
you're starting to see the lower credit scores and the subprime loans start to creep back into the economy again. And while that probably won't be the cause of any kind of recession that would happen this year, we could be setting ourselves up for another 2008 in 3 or 4 years.
Well, one of the things that's interesting, as you say that, is that a lot of the things that were a cause of the problem, credit default swaps and things like that, are still in existence. Mm-hmm. None of that ever went away.
No, it didn't. And the fact that the rating agencies managed to get away with this scot-free is kind of almost criminal, I think. I think the Moody's talking about these bonds being AAA bonds and AA investments, and yet these were credit swaps that didn't have any value to them whatsoever, and basically were a house of cards that were about to fall in on each other. And yeah, I think a lot of people got away with things during the course of the Great Recession. But the fact of the matter is that if you went and perp walked one bank president, you're going to have perp walk them all because they were all involved.
And would that be such a bad thing?
When
you see Jamie Dimon buying back his own stock, spending an entire year's salary and bonus on buying back the stock of his own company because it's so low at this point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you got to look at that and say there are some people that probably needed to get drummed out after 2008 and 2009, and maybe Mr. Dimon should have been one of them. But again, if you perp walk one, you had to perp walk them all. And if I don't know what kind of message that would have sent at that time in 2008, 2009. It might have driven us into a full-blown depression. So what we were running into.
But, you know, there's another side of the coin, which is the amount of money we spent bailing out the banks and AIG, we could have rescued all the homeowners who were underwater.
Sure.
So let the banks fail, take care of the people.
Yeah, that's true, but the banks are also involved in so many other things. Okay, yeah, you take care of the people, but then what happens to the depositors' monies? What happens to to the confidence of the banking system altogether in the country? I think that you've gone and resolved one crisis and created an entire another one.
Yes, but you would have the federal deposit insurance would kick in for the majority of people in the country.
To an extent, but I don't think federal deposit insurance has even enough funds to, if a Bank of America and, say, a Chase were allowed to fail at the same time, would there have been enough federal deposit insurance funds to even take care of that? Most of the banks that failed were on relatively small scale, and the larger banks that were right on the verge of failing, like the Wachovia, just about basically had a run on the bank there for the last couple months of their existence before Wells Fargo came in and took them over and kind of righted the ship. I'm not sure the federal deposit insurance had enough funds to take care of that.
Would you like to see the banks split up so that they can't be in the investment side as well as the banking side?
I don't think we're that step yet. I think that at this point in time, that would be we'd be going back in time a little bit, and the banks are so interwound with the investment pieces at this point in time. I'm not certain what the right answer is there. Maybe that is the right answer, but I think that what happened in 2008 in creating some banks that were, quote-unquote, too big to fail, I think our opportunity to break up the banks was then, and I think that if we go in now and go forward with breaking up the banks now, that's going to cause a crisis of confidence in our country.
All right, let's take a break. More with James Smack. He's here for the whole show after this.
Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you in part by the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, Pro Group Management, and the Retail Association of Nevada.
Welcome to the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center. What is Switch? The answer? They represent the most dynamic growth industry in the United States today. Data storage, the information of the world. Here they're building the first of many 1 million square foot facilities. It's in their new campus. It's for eBay. Welcome to the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, building economic prosperity for Nevada.
Your mouth does a lot of things for you every single day, so make sure you take absolute care of it. At Absolute Dental, our friendly staff will give your smile the absolute care it deserves, like free teeth whitenings, $1,500 off braces, all your wisdom teeth removed for just $1,299, and lots more. And it doesn't matter if you have insurance or not. We're here to work out a way to make it affordable. Give your mouth the absolute care it deserves. Give us a call or visit AbsoluteDental.com.
One family, one owner, serving Northern Nevada since 1964. As your Couture dry cleaner and alteration specialist, and the only cleaner of fine French linen. From Deluxe Laundry, our signature brand, to our expert drapery, blind, and window treatment cleaning service. From handbag cleaning in a clutch, to a nationalized partner in textile restoration. Bobby Page's, over 50 years of innovation. We're not just a dry cleaner, we're your neighborhood textile group. Visit us at BobbyPages.com.
Every day we help people hurt in accidents. Do you know the compensation you're entitled to right now and in the future? Do you need our help?
Go lightly in Vanna, 222-3333.
It's clearance time at Carson Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram. Save on a new Chrysler 200 Limited, just $18,700. During the spring clearance event, see CarsonDodge.com.
Watch Ask Joe, weeknights on News 4 at 6.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with James Smack. He's the former Nevada Republican National Committeeman. Paul Ryan, he didn't want to be the Speaker. He wanted to be the Chairman of the Banking Committee. And he made an agreement with the Tea Party activists, the 40 of them, that they would go along with him. Mm-hmm. They passed the omnibus budget bill. What do you think of Paul Ryan as the Speaker? And, you know, after getting that deal done, what do you see going forward with him? Because I find him fascinating.
I do too. I think Paul Ryan's got the right mindset for this job at this point in time. I think he'll do better than his predecessor. I think because he will talk to the Tea Party folks and within the Congress, he will talk with all the sides and try to negotiate the best thing that everybody can take back to their constituencies and say, listen, we did something right here. And I'm obviously putting Paul Ryan's grade as incomplete at this point in time, but I'm going to try to stay optimistic with him. I was a big critic of his predecessor. I was a big critic of John Boehner, and I thought that what John Boehner was doing was actually, to an extent, detrimental. And I think the omnibus bill was pretty much in the can by the time Paul Ryan took the speakership, so we can't necessarily put that on him. But if something like that comes out in another year or two, I think you could put it squarely on his shoulders, and he's going to have the same problems within his party that John Boehner did.
What do you think? And this is, you know, this happened in the omnibus bill, but it also happens with every candidate, it seems, on both sides of the aisle, about wanting to build up the military when we're just coming off of two wars. Mm-hmm. That would be a natural time for us to reduce spending on the military. We have the most powerful military by a multiple of Lord knows how much. And yet everybody's saying, we got to build up the military, build up the military. It seems a little crazy to me and not really practical.
We do need to stay on the cutting edge of technology with our military, because our potential adversaries down the road are not too far behind us in technology. So does there need to be a technology spend in the military? Absolutely. Is that something that needs to make sure that the military stays revenue neutral and just adjust more money into the technology spends to make sure that we still have the best planes and that we still are the tip of the spear and have the best military in the world? That's an interesting question. I don't think that you can really build up a lot in military spending when you're looking at a $19 trillion deficit. I think that needs to be level funded to a certain extent.
But that's what everybody's saying. Everybody's saying we need to spend more money on the military. We need to, you know, Ted Cruz was on this program back last fall talking about whatever it takes to build a wall between the United States and Mexico. And I said to him, are you talking $10 billion, $50 billion, $500 billion? Whatever it takes. That's not real conservative to me.
No, that's not. But I also don't think that Donald Trump's message of having Mexico pay for it's really going to work very well either.
I'm just bringing that up as a point here that you know, some of the stuff that is coming from, frankly, what we're considering conservative people is not real conservative in terms of spending.
But then let's see, is the wall really the most effective thing that we can do, or is there some kind of technological advance that we can implement that
we're
that's
doing
less
it
expensive?
Already? I mean, you know, the border enforcement is way higher than it was 10 years ago. Mm-hmm. So a lot has been done there, and, you know, people are going to get to this country no matter what. But our biggest problem isn't even the border. It's people coming in and out, staying visas.
That's true. That's true. And when you're talking about millions and millions of people overstaying their visas or coming here illegally, I think it is misguided to say you can round them all up and send them all home. But I think that, and actually Ben Carson's had a pretty good take on this. He said, we need to make this simpler. We need to create things like Ellis Island-type facilities at each major border crossing. And this is why I've been saying the same thing for years. We just need to make it easier for people to get in here that want to come here and work, and turn them into taxpayers. Get them tax identification numbers and start turning these people into taxpayers. And say, if you want to come here and work, that's fine, but you need to pay your fair share when you're here, too.
And no disagreement there. And I think that just about everybody who wants to come here wants to come here for a better life, but they don't necessarily want to come here for citizenship. And I think that gets very confusing, that people would be very happy to come here, and we'll use Mexico as the example, to come from Mexico, work in the United States, go home, mm-hmm. come back to work, go home. I don't think that their goal is citizenship. Their goal is a better life for their family.
Yeah, but just like when I went out to work temporarily for a couple times out in the state of Nebraska, I was responsible for state of Nebraska income taxes when I was there. And anybody that's coming here to work from a different country should be responsible for paying taxes and paying their fair share while they're here. And I think that if that is something that can be negotiated into whatever deal that comes with immigration.
No argument for me.
Yeah, but it's what we can't do is not do something.
Well, you know,
we need to fix the problem, but it's just a matter of getting some cooler heads in the room to do it.
Well, also I think that you know, your point is well made about the income taxes, because, you know, people who are here illegally, for the most part, want to be as legal as they can. For example, when they legalized driver's licenses for people who are out of status aliens in Nevada, the majority of them had insurance. They were getting as legal as they could, up to the point of things that they couldn't get, like a driver's license. But once they got the driver's license, they were not looking to get caught and be in more trouble. So I think that if part of the deal was, well, you can come in here, maybe you're not going to be a citizen, but you have to pay your taxes if you're going to work here, I think they'd be happy to.
Right. Well, I would expect to pay taxes if I went to work in Canada or if I went to work in the Philippines or anywhere else that I would choose to go work overseas. And I think that the expectation should be that somebody coming here to work should have that same minimum expectation, that they should be paying taxes and they should be coming here and acclimating to the processes here as much as possible. If they don't want citizenship, that's fine. If they do want citizenship, then the road to citizenship should be a lot easier than it is today.
Yeah, well, that one's going to be a tough one, I think.
I'm not saying easier.
I'm not disagreeing with you, but I'm just saying in the present political climate, you're a long ways out on that one. But thank you so much for being here. A thoughtful conversation. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
We'll be right back.
To get a DVD copy of any Nevada Newsmakers program, call 775-857-2244. The cost is $30, including shipping, handling, and tax.
Accidents happen every day. They change lives in an instant.
But what happens next is critical. That's why you need expert legal representation.
We worked for the insurance companies. We know their tricks.
Galloway and Jensen, we fight for you.
I gotta make payroll and buy supplies too. Got checks in hand and I don't know what to do. Days and weeks are just too long to wait. I got the cash flow.
If your small business can't wait days or even weeks to access your deposits, bring those personal or business checks into Check City and get cash in minutes.
It's a cure for the cash flow. Check City, baby.
Looking for a new career? You should consider a stable career as a heating, air conditioning, and refrigeration technician.
After I graduated from CCNN, I felt really confident because I started getting all kinds of job offers and all kinds of job interviews, and I felt like I actually had the techniques and I had all the skill from school to actually do the jobs that I was applying for. Well, I feel really good about actually having a career that I can build my life around. I've never had an actual skill that I can actually anchor myself to that can just take me to so many different places. What I like about CCNN is they really help you find in yourself what you can actually succeed in. Well, obviously the best thing that's happened to me since graduation is getting a career.
Start your career as a heating, air conditioning, and refrigeration technician now by calling CCNN at 775-583-4696. 775-583-4696.
Accidents happen every day. They change lives in an instant.
When you've been injured, you're going to have questions.
We have the answers and the experience.
Call Galloway and Jensen, 333-7555. We fight for you.
As always, you can watch Nevada Newsmakers 24 hours a day at NevadaNewsmakers.com. We'll see you on the next broadcast. Thanks for watching and listening.